continuation of Krishna's 64 qualities.
Changeless, sada sarupa samprapta. The individual soul can have 50 of Krishna's 64 qualities in minute quantity. Besides having these 50 qualities in full, Krishna exhibits 5 other qualities which are partially seen in Brahma and Shiva. Conditioned souls continually change their bodies as they rotate in the cycle of birth and death. But Krishna does not change his body. He appears in his own body and is therefore not affected by the modes of nature. Although the Lord sometimes appears in this material world, Krishna has nothing to do with the modes of material nature, and he acts with full independence in his transcendental position. This is the special quality of the Lord. Krishna exists in an unchangeable sada sarup, bliss-filled, eternal, transcendental body. By chanting Shuddha Nam, a devotee will attain his own transcendental form, sada sarup, and enter the spiritual world for an eternal life of divine service. He'll never have to change his body again. 52. All-cognizant Sarvajna. Someone may be a know-it-all, but only God, Sri Krishna, can rightfully hold the title of omniscient. Krishna knows everything about the past, present, and future. In the classic definition, God is defined as omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Krishna perfectly embodies these divine attributes. Nectar of Devotion defines all cognizant as any person who can understand the feelings of all persons and incidents in all places and times. Krishna is the supreme Gyani, but he also possesses knowledge of the heart. Krishna cares. He knows everyone's heart and works actively to liberate his devotees. A devotee can never say, "Nobody understands me." Krishna knows us better than we know ourselves. Tirelessly, Krishna acts to point us in the right direction. Krishna guides us from within as the Supersoul, and he instructs us externally as the spiritual master. In Braja Leela, Krishna understood the hearts of the Brahmana's wives, so he accepted their offerings and gave his heart in return. He also knew the desires of the unmarried gopis who were worshipping Katyayani to attain him as their husband. So Krishna blessed them by fulfilling their desire. The 53rd quality of Krishna, ever fresh, nitya nutan. Everything about Krishna is ever fresh, interesting, attractive, and ecstatic. Every day Mother Yashoda follows Krishna and the cows into the forest. She bathes Krishna with the combined streams of her tears and breast milk before returning to Nandagram. Although Yashoda enacts this pastime every day, each episode feels like a uniquely fresh and blissful experience. Every night, Krishna's rasa dance with the gopis extends for the time period covered by Lord Brahma's day, 4 billion years. Yet the gopis feel that that night passes by in a second. To the gopis, each consecutive night of the rasa dance seems as new and exciting as the first dance they enjoyed with Krishna. The Christians view God as an old man with a long white beard. But our Krishna is Navayovanam, always a fresh youth with long, wavy black hair and an effulgent cloud blue complexion. Krishna is always remembered, and his name is always chanted by millions of devotees. But the devotees never become saturated, therefore Krishna is ever fresh. Krishna's knowledge is also ever fresh, as proven by the perennial popularity of the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada said that even if one reads all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita every day, still he will receive newer and newer realizations from the immortal teachings of Lord Krishna. Therefore, Krishna and his name, form, qualities, and everything in relationship with him are ever fresh. 54. Sachit Ananda Vigraha, Sachit Ananda Sandranga. In Sanskrit, Srila Rupa Goswami describes Krishna as Sachit Ananda Sandranga, which means that Krishna is the concentrated form of transcendental existence, consciousness, and bliss. Sat means that Krishna pervades all time and space. Chit means that Krishna is self-manifest. Ananda means that Krishna is the abode of unalloyed love, Shuddha Prema. Sandra means Krishna's transcendental form is so densely composed of Sat, Chit, and Ananda that nothing else can touch it. Instead of realizing his oneness in quality with the Supreme Lord, the conditioned soul exists in a temporary position, Asat, of ignorance, Achit, devoid of bliss, Nirananda. In his natural purified state, every person has his individual Satchitananda Vigraha, eternal spiritual body full of bliss and knowledge. In our perfect spiritual body, we will someday play with Krishna in the spiritual world, far beyond the illusions and miseries of the ephemeral world of matter. Quality number 55. Possessing all mystic perfections, sarva siddhi nisevita. Qualities 55 through 60 are also present in Lord Narayan and Mahavishnu. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay glorifies Krishna, saying, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Sri Krishna is the controller of all yoga siddhis, or the master of all mysticism. The standard of material perfection among yogis is to become a master of the 8 yoga siddhis, mystic perfections. In Krishna's personality, one can find the fullest expression of all conceivable siddhis. Krishna showed all the mystic perfections in his pastimes in Braj. 1. Anima Siddhi, becoming smaller than the smallest. Brahma Samhita 5.35 says, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. Krishna enters the universe and the atom as well. Everything is within Krishna, and Krishna is within everything. During the rasa dance, Krishna entered the core of each gopi's heart to make her feel that, quote, Krishna is dancing with me alone. 2. Mahima. To become heavier or greater than the greatest. Krishna became heavier than the heaviest object in order to thwart Trinavarta's attempt to kidnap him. 3. Lagima Siddhi, to become lighter than the lightest. Krishna made the massive mountain of Govardhan as light as a flower to hold it up for 7 days. At that time, Subal joked with Krishna, "Hey Krishna, don't be so proud about holding up Govardhan Hill. We all know that Giriraji just floated in the air by himself due to being satisfied with our bhog offerings." 4. Prapti Siddhi, ability to acquire whatever one desires. A yogi with this power can extend his hand and touch the moon with his finger. During his pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, Krishna created a second form of himself. In this form, Krishna quickly ate all the mountains of rice, halava, puris, pakoras, and the lakes full of sweet rice, which were offered by the Vrijvasis. Extending his long arms and licking his tongue, Govardhan bellowed, "Anior, Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more, give me more." 5. Ishitva, ability to create something wonderful or annihilate anything at will. Once in Vrindavan, Yashoda accused her son of eating dirt after getting a report from Krishna's friends. To prove his innocence, Krishna opened his mouth like an ordinary boy. Within Krishna's mouth, Yashoda saw all the planetary systems, the sun, moon, stars, all moving and non-moving living entities, the three modes of material nature, the time factor, the earth planet, Brajadam, and herself looking inside Krishna's mouth. 6. Prakamya, fulfillment of all desires. To satisfy the desires of Nanda Maharaj and the coward men of Braj, Krishna once revealed the vast spiritual sky. Krishna took all the gopas to Akrura Ghat to bathe. Upon entering the water, they immediately saw Krishna Loka and Krishna himself, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were chanting prayers to Krishna. Coming out of the water, the cowherd men again saw Krishna sitting peacefully with a gentle smile on his face and a flute tucked in his cloth. 7. Vashitva, the power to control all material elements. Krishna performed a miracle when Indra inundated Vrindavan with torrents of rain as thick as columns. Using his Yogamaya Shakti, Krishna removed all the rains from the sky. He then ran from the porch of his house to Govardhan Hill without getting a drop of water on his turban or garments. 8. Kamavasayita, the power to attain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit. One with this siddhi acquires the maximum powers of control, acquisition, and enjoyment. Krishna fully controls all moving and non-moving living entities with the song of his flute. By a mere glance or a flick of the wrist, Krishna dominates and defeats the most sophisticated mystic cities, appearing as different obnoxious demons to interrupt his pleasure excursions in Braj. On the camphor powder, fine sandy banks of the Yamuna, Krishna enjoys the highest limit of ecstatic pleasures in conjugal love, dancing with the most celebrated beauties in all of creation, the delightful gopis of Vrindavan. 56, Krishna's inconceivable potencies, avichintya mahashakti. Krishna is present everywhere, not only within the universe, and not only within the hearts of all living entities, but also within every atom. Sri Jiva Goswami states that no one can understand Krishna unless he accepts the Lord's achintya shakti, inconceivable potency. The astounding feats Krishna performs in his various pastimes cannot be conceived or explained. Simply, we can surrender our minds and hearts to our Lord Krishna, who is magnificent, but at the same time sweet and innocent. Ishopanishad states, "The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away and very near as well. He is within everything and yet outside of everything." Mantra 5. The contradictions given here prove the inconceivable potency of God. Otherwise, there is no meaning to the words Supreme Lord. Krishna can make the impossible possible and the possible impossible. When Krishna plays his flute, the rocks and mountains melt in rivers of liquid minerals that wash over his lotus feet. The river Yamuna changes her course and flows backwards. Solid objects turn into liquid, and liquids turn into solids. The birds sipping water from the lakes get their beaks stuck when the water freezes solid from the influence of Krishna's flute song. Shukadeva Goswami has described the inconceivable potencies of Krishna as follows. Krishna is bewildering my intelligence because although he is unborn, he has appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is all-pervading, but still he is held on the lap of Yashoda. In spite of his being all-pervasive, he has become limited by the love of Yashoda. Although Krishna has innumerable forms, still he is moving as one Krishna before his father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. In the Brahma Samhita, also, it is said that although Krishna is eternally living in Goloka Vrindavan, his transcendental abode, he is still present everywhere, even within the atoms. With a desire to bestow his love upon the conditioned souls rotting in the material world, Krishna compresses inconceivable potencies and unlimited transcendental forms into his holy names. The inconceivable power of Krishna's holy name can transform ignorance into knowledge, pride into submission, envy into love, and demons into devotees. 57. Krishna's body generates innumerable universes, Koti Brahmanda. Lord Brahma said, "Even though one of the many universes is created by me, innumerable universes are coming and going from the pores of your body, just as atomic particles are seen flickering in the sunlight. I think I am very, very insignificant before you, and I am therefore begging your pardon. Please be merciful toward me." Although countless millions of universes emanate from his body, Krishna can always be seen walking barefoot behind the cows in Vrindavan, while enticing the gopis with the charming melodies of his flute. 58. The original source of all incarnations. Antaravati Bija. Krishna alone is the Sarva Avatari, the source of all avatars. Sri Jayadeva Goswami glorifies 10 major incarnations of Krishna in his Das Avatar Stotram. Srila Rupa Goswami says, quote, "From Srimad Bhagavatam, it is understood that innumerable incarnations are always coming out from the body of Krishna, just like waves in the ocean. No one can even count how many waves there are. And similarly, no one can count how many incarnations are coming from the Lord's body." End of quote. After describing the different avatars of the Supreme Lord, Vyasadeva concludes, "All the above-mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. There are as many incarnations of the Lord as there are waves on the ocean, and all of them originate from Krishna. No one, therefore, can possibly measure the fantastic potency of Krishna's transcendental body." Quality 59. Krishna gives salvation to the enemies he kills. Atari gati dhayaka. Krishna is so compassionate that he liberates his surrendered devotees by awarding them pure spiritual bodies to serve him eternally in Braj, the land of loving enchantment. Besides delivering his devotees, Krishna is so kind that he even grants salvation to the demons that come to kill him. When Krishna killed the demon Agha, witnesses saw Agha's soul enter Krishna's body. Similarly, when Krishna killed Shishupal, the demon's soul entered Krishna's transcendental body. By personally seeing Krishna at the time of death, all the soldiers of Kurukshetra, quote, entered the friendly atmosphere of Krishna's spiritual effulgence. Quality 60, the attractor of liberated souls. Atmarama Ganakarshi. Krishna is all attractive for everyone. Whether one is a conditioned soul under the grip of Maya or a liberated soul rejoicing in the bliss of the self, the transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna contain such incredible power of attraction and pleasure that the greatest self-realized sages, Atmaram Munis, hanker to serve him. There are many examples of liberated Brahman-realized souls like Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras becoming attracted to Krishna, but we never find any example of Krishna's pure devotees becoming attracted to Brahman liberation. Shukadeva Goswami said, "I was certainly situated in perfectly in transcendence, but still I was attracted by the delineation of Krishna's pastimes. The sweet aroma of the flowers, tulsi manjaris, and chandan offered to Lord Vishnu's lotus feet attracted the four Kumaras, Sanatana, and Sanandana. The Brajagopis were attracted to the gorgeous bodily features of Krishna. Even without seeing Krishna, Princess Rukmini became totally captivated and bent on marrying him just by hearing his glories. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The personal form of Lord Sri Krishna is so attractive that it comprehends all attraction, all bliss, and all tastes. These attractions are so strong that no one wants to exchange them for material enjoyment, mystic powers, and liberation. There is no need of logical arguments in support of this statement. But out of one's own nature, one becomes attracted by the qualities of Lord Sri Krishna. We must know for certain that the qualities of the Lord have nothing to do with mundane qualities. All of them are full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. There are innumerable qualities of the Lord, and one is attracted by one quality while another is attracted by another. Krishna is the one supreme person who has something delightful for everyone. Now the 61st through the 64th qualities of Krishna, these are qualities that distinguish Krishna from all other avatars. And they're listed, the 61st is Lila Madhurya. Krishna is an undulating ocean of astonishing pastimes, out of which Rasa Lila is supremely captivating. 62 is Prema Madhurya. Krishna is surrounded by devotees who possess incomparable Madhura Prema, which develops up to the stage of Mahabhav. 63 is Vena Madhurya. The sweet and mellow sound of Krishna's flute attracts the minds of everyone within the three worlds. 64. Rupa Madhurya. Krishna's extraordinary beauty astonishes all moving and non-moving entities. Now we're going to describe the specific details of each of these qualities. Number 61 is Lila Madhurya, uniquely sweet pastimes. What makes a person sweet is his submission to those who love him. No other form of Godhead has pastimes as sweet as Krishna's, because in no other pastime is the Lord so completely submissive to the love of his devotees. Thus, among all the Lord's pastimes, Vrindavan Leela is the sweetest. And among all the Vrindavan pastimes, Ras Leela is the sweetest, because in Ras Leela, Krishna submits to his devotees' love to the fullest extent. One devotee said, I know about Narayan, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and I also know about many other incarnations of the Lord. Certainly all the pastimes of such incarnations are exciting to my mind, but still the pastimes of the Rasa Leela performed by Lord Sri Krishna are wonderfully increasing my transcendental pleasure. Madhurya, or sweetness, is the very essence of Sri Krishna's nature. Although everything pertaining to Krishna is sweet, Srila Rupa Goswami has specifically described the sweetness of Krishna's Leela, Prem, Venu, and Rupa. These last four sweet qualities, Madhurya Gun, are seen only in Vrindavan, where Krishna reveals the absolute limit of beauty, sweetness, and intimacy. These four sweet qualities of Sri Krishna characterize his supremacy over all other manifestations and incarnations. Krishna possesses an all-attractive, most beautiful form. Krishna plays an all-attractive, melodious flute. Krishna performs all-attractive, glorious pastimes. And Krishna shares an all-attractive sweetness of love with his beloved servitors in Braj, who are adept in confidential reciprocations with him. These four wonderful excellences are not seen in Lord Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha, where Aishwarya predominates. That is why Lakshmi, the divine consort of Lord Narayan, is attracted by the most fascinating beauty and sweetness of Sri Krishna. Krishna's Leela Madhurya feature is most prominently displayed in Madhurya Dham Sri Vrindavan. In Braj Bhumi, all of Krishna's pastimes are saturated with sweet intimacy, 100% Madhurya. Because here, Krishna's subjugation by love is the greatest. The Rasa Leela surpasses all Braja Leelas because in this pastime, Krishna tastes an excellent variety of different kinds of rasa. The madhurya or sweetness of Krishna's pastimes in Mathura is severely diminished and diluted by the mixture of Vaishvarya, power and opulence. In Dwarka Leela, Madhurya Ras reduces to a spoonful and Aishvarya Bhav expands to an ocean. Only in Vrindavan does Krishna enjoy the sweetest taste of Prem Ras, which cannot be attained anywhere else. Sarup Damodar glorifies Vrindavan. The natural opulence of Vrindavan is just like an ocean. The opulence of Dwarka and Vaikuntha is not even to be compared to a drop. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, and his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan is a natural forest of desire trees and creepers, and the inhabitants do not want anything but the fruits and flowers of those desire trees. The 62nd quality is Prema Madhurya. As a jewel becomes more beautiful when set in a golden ring, a person becomes more enchanting when surrounded by those who adore him. The Brijbasis' love for Krishna is unparalleled. Surrounded by them, Krishna shines most brightly as the zenith of all enchanting sweetness. Prema Madhurya. Among all the Brijbasis, the gopis' love is the best. Thus, Sri Krishna is the most attractive form of the Lord with Srimati Radharani on his left. Sri Rupa Goswami helps us to appreciate the gopis' love, intense love, by quoting two shlokas from the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of them reads, "The gopis used to lament, 'My dear Krishna, during the daytime, when you go out into the forest of Vrindavan with your cows, we consider one moment to be like 12 years. And again, when you come back at the end of the day, by seeing your beautiful face, we are so much attracted that we are unable to stop looking upon you constantly. At these times, when there is occasional blinking of our eyelids, we condemn the creator Brahma as a dunce because he does not know how to make perfect eyes.'" Krishna's devotees in Vaikuntha are dedicated, selfless servants of the Lord. But Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan are especially superior because more than being selfless, they are self-forgetful. The Brijbasis are so absorbed in making Krishna happy in every possible way that they completely forget themselves. They forget to eat, sleep, bathe, dress properly, attend to their duties, or care for their families. Krishna becomes so indebted to them that he promises never to take a step out of Vrindavan. Vrindavanam prityaja paramekam nagacchati. Krishna frankly admits that he can never return the degree of pure love offered to him by the Brijbasis. The sweetness of Krishna is relative to the prema of his eternal associates. The prema of Mother Yashoda makes the all-powerful and all-pervading Krishna allow himself to be tied by her. The prema of Nanda makes Krishna carry Nanda's shoes on his head. The prema of the wives of the yogic brahmanas makes Krishna beg food at their door. The prema of the Braja Gopis is so powerful that it makes Krishna dance to their tune like the straw cast about by a stormy sea. The bliss Krishna experiences in dancing to their tune is even superior to the most concentrated form of ananda, which Krishna enjoys in his own self. Only in Vrindavan is Krishna surrounded by loving devotees who possess incomparable madhurya prema, which develops up to the stage of Adiruddha Mahabhav, the highest stage of divine love. The Brajagopis' love for Krishna is so great and ecstatic that they are disturbed by even his momentary absence. One gopi said, let me go to that. Prabhupada states, in other words, the gopis were so disturbed by the blinking of their eyes because for the moment that their eyes were closed, they could not see Krishna. The 63rd quality of Krishna is Krishna's attractive flute, the sweetness, or the third sweetness, Vena Madhurya. Uniquely sweet, all-attractive flute. No one in this world can compete with Krishna's musical expertise. Even the great demigods cannot understand it. Indra, the king of heaven, is a connoisseur of the finest things in the universe. Shiva and Brahma are the originators of all musical skills. Yet neither Indra, Brahma, nor Shiva can comprehend the fascinating musicianship that Krishna joyfully displays when playing his flute. The gopis tell Mother Yashoda, when Krishna plays on his flute, Shiva, Brahma, and Indra, although they are supposed to be the greatest scholars and learned personalities, they all become bewildered. By hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, these great personalities humbly bow down and become grave from studying the sound vibrated. Krishna's musical excellence, expressed through the melodies of his flute, stimulates everyone to engage in his devotional service. The sweet, mellow sound of Krishna's flute attracts the minds of everyone within the three worlds. Even one iota of the indescribable sweetness of Krishna's flute is superior to the sweetness of all the sweet sounds of the world put together. The bliss caused by the sound of Krishna's flute is so intense and penetrating that it reverses the functions of animate and inanimate objects. Every Brijbasi, whether he is a gopi or gopi, bird or beast, a tree or plant, or a river or mountain, loves the nectar of Krishna's flute. Each responds to the music with his own expression of ecstasy. Rocks melt and flow. Moving entities become still. Cows stand motionless to catch the sweet sound with upraised ears. And the birds perch silently, eyes closed, wrapped in meditation. The deer, entranced by the waves of nectar, prance forward to stand beside Krishna. Upon hearing their names cleverly blended in the ragas of the flute, the gopis drop everything and run to their romantic hero. Krishna's flute vibrates 8 different tunes. Demigods like Brahma and Shiva break their meditation and forget everything when the first tune pierces their ears. Shiva stops playing his din-din drum. Brahma sits astonished on his lotus flower, and Lord Ananta Shesh begins swaying hypnotically. The second tune of Krishna's flute makes the Yamuna River flow backwards. The moon stops moving upon hearing the third tune. Cows run up to Krishna and stand motionless with upraised ears to drink the nectar of the fourth tune. The fifth note brings the gopis madly running, eager for Krishna's love. The sixth tune creates autumn, replete with juicy fruits and rich foliage. Stones melt when caressed by this note. The seventh note instantly ushers in all six seasons, manifesting their full splendor with gentle, sensuous southern breezes carrying the perfumed aromas of fresh forest flowers. The eighth note of Shyam's seductive flute takes the name of Radha, steals her self-control, and forcibly sends Radha to meet her beloved Krishna. Overwhelmed by the flute's passionate whirlwind, Radharani paints black kajal on her lotus feet and red lac dye on her eyes. She fastens a necklace around her waist, puts anklets on her wrists, and drapes her top piece of cloth on the bottom. Oh, when will that day come when Krishna will call us with his flute and we will drop everything and run to him in love? Oh, pious Mother Yashoda, your son is expert in all the acts of herding cows, and he has invented many new styles of flute playing. When Krishna takes his flute to his bimba fruit red lips and sends forth the tunes of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and other chief demigods become confused upon hearing the sound. Although they are the most learned authorities, they cannot ascertain the essence of that music, and thus they bow down their heads and hearts. This is Krishna's Venu Madhurya. Actually, Venu means flute, and this flute is one of the Udipan Vibhavs, one of the two types of Alambana. There's so they were describing Krishna's qualities as Udipana and Vibhav. Vibhav is Alambana with Vishaya and Ashraya, and then Udipan, second aspect of Vibhav. So Krishna's Venu Madhurya, his flutes, or Krishna's flutes, are also a source of stimulating one's Staibhav or ecstatic love for Krishna. The Venu, which is 9 inches long, 3/4 inch thick, and has 6 holes on the body. The Venu is sometimes also called Pavika. The Murali is 36 inches long. It has a mouthpiece at the end. It has 4 holes on the body and creates a very deep and enchanting sound. The Vamshi is 12 3/4 inches long. In other words, the Venu is the shortest, 9 inches. Vamshi is in the middle, 12 inches. And Murali is 3 times longer, 36 inches. The Vamshi has 9 holes on its body. From the top to the mouthpiece is 3 inches. The mouthpiece is 3 1/4 inches. From the mouthpiece to the finger holes is 1 1/8 inches. The 8 finger holes and 7 intervening spaces are each 3/8 inch. From the last finger hole to the end of the flute is 2 1/4 inches. There are 3 types of Vamshis described in the Nectar Devotion. One is called Sammohini. This has a 7 1/2 inch space from the mouthpiece to the finger holes. and a total length of 19 1/8 inch total length. It is made of jewels, and the Sam Mohini is also known as Mahananda. The second type of Vamshi is known as the Karshini. It has a 9-inch space and a 20.58-inch total length. It is made of gold. The third type of Vamshi is called Anandini. It has a 10.5-inch space and 22 1/8-inch total length. It is made of bamboo and is also known as Bamshuli. It is dear to the gopas. Now Krishna's 64th quality is his exquisite beauty, Rupa Madhurya. In this world, beautiful people use jewelry, clothing, and other ornaments to enhance their charm. Krishna, however, is referred to as Bhushanangam. He beautifies his ornaments, not vice versa. Thus, Krishna is far more beautiful than anyone. Even among expansions and incarnations, Krishna's beauty is supreme. Krishna's sweet beauty attracts everyone, even Krishna himself, to taste the bliss of his devotional service. Rupa Goswami writes, "One day Krishna saw the shadow of his beautiful form reflected on the jeweled foreground. Upon seeing his bodily reflection, Krishna expressed his feelings. Oh, how wonderful it is! I've never seen such a beautiful form. Although it is my own form, still, like Radharani, I am trying to embrace this form and enjoy celestial bliss." The extraordinary beauty of Krishna astonishes all moving and non-moving living entities. Srila Rupa Goswami describes three levels of perfection seen in Krishna's different dhams. Krishna in Dwarka is perfect. Krishna in Mathura is more perfect, Purnatara. Purna and Purnatara. And Krishna in Vrindavan is most perfect, Purnatam. Everything about Krishna, his names, forms, qualities, and pastimes, are most beautifully and wonderfully exhibited in their topmost perfection only in Sri Brajadham. The gorgeous body of Govinda presents a constant festival for the eyes of the Brajagopis. The gopis are so much in love with Krishna that they can see his form at any time, either before their eyes or internally playing in their hearts. The special feature of Krishna's beauty is that it increases in proportion to the sweetness of the love of his devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that Krishna alone has no power of beauty or attraction. But when Krishna associates with the gopis, especially Srimati Radhika, then he reveals his true all-attractive form as Madan Mohan. May the devoted readers become fully enchanted by the subduer of Cupid, Kamadev, Sri Krishna. One who meditates on the super excellent beauty of Krishna will no longer be attracted to Cupid. Entering the ecstatic ocean of Krishna's Rupa Madhurya, one will drown in endless waves of continuous bliss. This concludes the description of Krishna's 64 transcendental qualities mentioned in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And these all act as vibhav udipans, or stimulus to ecstatic love. As Krishna has unlimited forms, ananta rupam, he also has unlimited number of qualities, ananta gunam. The transcendental qualities of Krishna are compared to an ocean. By tasting one drop of the ocean water, one can understand that the entire ocean is salty. Similarly, by hearing this brief description of Krishna's qualities, one can gain some understanding of the Lord's true transcendental identity. Lord Brahma said that someday the scientists may be able to count all the planets in the sky, or even estimate how many atoms are within the universe, but they will never be able to count the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. So a summary of this chapter 22. Advishai Lambana Vibhav and Udipana Vibhav. The qualities of Sri Krishna are sometimes classified as Vishaya Lambana and sometimes as Udipana. Because Krishna's qualities are part and parcel of his form, they are included as Vishaya Alambana. When the principal meditation is upon Sri Krishna, who possesses various qualities, those qualities are thought of as belonging to the object of love and are therefore classified as Vishaya Alambana. When, however, the principal meditation is upon the qualities of Sri Krishna, and that remembrance stimulates love for Krishna, those qualities of Krishna are then considered to be as Udipana. Sri Krishna has 64 qualities, which we mentioned, principal ones. The first 50 are present in a minute extent in great personalities who are recipients of the Lord's mercy. Ordinary jivas, however, display but a shadow of a particle of such qualities. So there's a nice chart here that describes this vibhav, the causes of tasting rati. So first we have alambana. There's first category is alambana, those who taste rati. In other words, vibhav has two aspects, alambana and udipana. So this alambana includes vishai, the object of rati, namely Krishna. And then Krishna has two different forms. One is called anyarup. That's anya means another. Ananyarup means another form of Krishna when he assumes, for example, when he assumed the form of the cowherd boys and calves, when Brahma stole the boys in Brahma Vimohan Leela. And then there's Swarup in his own form. And there's two types of Krishna in Swarup. One is called Avrita, which means covered or disguised. This is when Krishna disguises himself as a gopi or as a woman in order to meet secretly with Radharani or to break her man. And the other form of Swarup is called Prakat. It's Krishna in his original form. So this is one aspect of Lambana, Vishai, and the other aspect is Ashray, the reservoir of Rati, the devotee. Sadhakas are Bhava Bhaktas like Bilvamangala Thakur, and Siddhas are the Prema Bhaktas. In other words, the Siddhas, the Ashray, they are eternally the reservoirs of Krishna Rati, Madhura Rati, Vatsalya Rati, Sakirati. They are the Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect devotees. Then there's Samprapti siddha, those who have attained perfection. And they've attained perfection in two ways, either by sadhana, so they're sadhana siddha. They've attained perfection through sadhana, like Markandeya Rishi. Or they're kripa siddha, they've attained perfection through mercy, like Yajnapatnis, Bali Maharaj, and Sri Shukadeva. The second aspect of vibhav is called udipana, that which stimulates rati. So, as we mentioned, we're describing the 64 qualities of Krishna. So these 64 qualities can act as stimulants. When we experience these qualities of Krishna, can stimulate our love at the platform of bhav and prem. And then these udipanas include 14 other items, which we'll discuss in chapter 26. And they're related to Krishna. Krishna's clothes, ornaments, smile, bodily fragrance, flute, buffalo horn, anklets, conch shell, footprints, holy places, tulsi, devotees, and holy festivals like Ekadashi, Harivasara, and Janmastami. Now we'll begin chapter 23, Krishna's personality. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, second wave, first chapter, verses 220 through 250. Continuing the description of Vibhav Vishay, Krishna as the object of love, Sri Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna manifests his sweet qualities in three gradations of fullness. In Goloka Vrindavan, his transcendental qualities are exhibited as most perfect, Purnatam. In Dwarka, Krishna exhibits his qualities as very perfect, Purnatara. And in Mathura, Krishna exhibits his qualities as perfect, Purna. Besides Krishna's 64 qualities, another stimulus of ecstatic love is Krishna's personality, which exhibits four personality traits. Rupa Goswami defines and illustrates the four classic types of heroic personalities, all perfectly found in Krishna. 1. Dhirodhata, which means noble. 2. Dhira Lalita, romantic. 3. Dhira Prashant, peaceful. 4. Dhirodhata, which means haughty. In all four of these descriptions of Krishna's heroic personality, the word dhira is common. The word dhira means firmly, so that Krishna is noble, romantic, peaceful, and haughty. So these four personality traits of Krishna may appear to be contradictory traits. How can one be humble and haughty, noble and proud? Srila Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna is a reservoir of all qualities, and by his inconceivable potency, he can reconcile all contradictory qualities and personality traits. One should never consider Krishna's haughtiness or any of his other qualities to be impure. All Krishna's characteristics are wonderfully attractive and pure because Krishna is completely free from mundane inepties, such as illusion, fatigue, errors, roughness, etc. In Nectar Devotion, page 195, Rupa Goswami describes Dhirodhata as a person who is naturally very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. So this is the Dhirodhata Nayaka. Nayaka means hero, so the hero exhibits these qualities or personalities. And so Krishna is a Dhirodhata Nayaka, a Dhir Lalita Nayak, a Dhirodhata Nayak, a Dhir Prashant Nayak. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Dharma, he also describes these qualities. Page 601 says that the Dhirodhata Nayak is great. He exhibits gravity, courtesy, forgiveness, compassion, modesty, and concealed pride. So the Dhirodhata Anukul Nayak is grave, humble, forgiving, compassionate, resolute, steadfast in his vows. And free from vanity, he's modest and extremely munificent. Nevertheless, a Dhirodhata Nayak renounces all those qualities for the sake of his Nayaka, heroine, and goes to meet with her in secret.